Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Yes. Hello, Australia. Welcome to the big Monday edition of Kennedy.
Hello, Australia.
Hi, Jane Kennedy. Hello. How are you?
I'm good, Mickey.
Well, there's trouble at Mill.
No, it's not.
We will get to you in just a moment.
Everybody plays by the rules.
There's been furniture tipped over. There has been chest poking. There has been...
Everything's fine.
Acrimonious criminations.
I just know not to ever mention anything to you in private.
We'll get to that in just a minute. Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Hello, guys. Great to be here.
You had a good weekend. We'll get
Fantastic.
To that. All right, big show today.
I think it's
now the biggest story in Australia, stroke the world right now, is the Ashes. Australia won the Ashes and were cheated out of it. And it's
really
a disgrace,
outrageous.
And we are appalled. And there were
shocked.
TVs thrown out windows last night. We'll get to the bottom of this with friend of the show, Adam Gilchrist.
Fantastic.
Who'll be on to answer all our petulant questions. And a couple of others.
And
we might take your calls on the cheating, rorting, how to play cricket in England scenario. Tommy G, James Kennedy.
Tommy G's coming in. He's on Have You Been Paying Attention Tonight. I love it when he comes in on a Monday.
Yes, who's on tonight?
We've got Lloyd Langford, Susie Youssef, Ash London, Sam Pang and Ed Cavalier.
Have I upset them?
No, I'm sure you're coming.
I'm going to go soon.
Hey, you know what has given me a bit of delight?
What?
In sort of, you know, a...
tell me about it.
Schadenfreude,
yes,
sort of
please.
Way. Pauline Hanson having a blub on the rock saying she can't get down.
How'd that work out for you, Pauline?
No. Oh, it's so funny.
That is my favourite story of the year so far. We'll put that up on blocks. Hey, the Purple Wiggle, who knew? He's a pants man.
What do you mean? Don't say a pants man.
He is potting everything
Not
around
Jeff,
town.
The new Purple Wiggle.
The new Purple Wiggle. He's gone berserk.
Has he?
Not quite berserk.
He's like Mick Jagger on heat.
Really?
He is up to no good. We'll get to the bottom of that.
Someone. What else have we got?
Oh, we've got a new segment. Is it news? That'll be fun.
Yeah, because there's a lot going around there. Aretha Franklin has left a $1 million worth of checks lying around her place. When they went to clean it up, because she's passed, but they went and... $1 million.
You do the bit of it.
As what?
I've been around at your place.
No, you have still got vouchers from about 3 years ago.
Sitting on the bathroom floor. Hey, we'll take your calls.
I call bullshit. I've got the mags.
And we're going to ask you if your parents have ever embarrassed you.
Yeah.
So much to get through. Hello to you, Dangerous Dave. How was the 1-year-old party?
Yesterday it was really over the top. I've never been to a 1-year-old birthday party with a food truck out the front. Souvlaki's,
a food truck? What was it for, like mushed-up food?
Those little jellies? This is for the mums and dads. And the spread, because these friends of ours are Turkish Albanian, so they put on a massive spread.
Good on them.
Oh, my God. We were on a sugar high all night last night.
You know what they say? The Turkish Albanians know how to do it.
They really do. You know
I'm a huge fan of their food culture.
Me too.
They got it right. No need to muck around.
There was this three milk thing they made. It's like a slice, and they call it three milk. It's like a condensed milk and a powder. It was the most amazing thing I've ever
had. You had me at condensed milk.
Okay, Jane, you have come in here. You're not prone to throwing a tantrum,
everybody knows you well enough by now. Mm-hmm. They know me well enough by now to just take this next...
Fuming. You were fuming?
With a grain of salt,
please. You've kicked the door down. Mm. You've stormed into Fee's office. You've
done nothing.
Short of tipping over furniture. Grabbing her by the scruff of the neck, you said, "Who's in my car park? What mole has parked in my friggin' car park?"
Jeez.
Subtly this morning, today, I came at the same time as my great mate, security guard, whose name
Farris.
I won't...
He's a ripper, Farris. We like him. There's been an embargo on us talking to him by his bosses.
So Farris and I arrive at the same time and there's no car park for me.
You called security, didn't you?
I didn't. He arrived at the same time as me.
Sure it's not his
and
car?
And I had to keep driving around to find a park and he goes, "Hey, that's no good.
Mm.
There's who's parked in your car park,
You're not going to do the accent?
Listen, my children think I'm racist enough, and it wouldn't be racist if I'm Farris.
Farris is ace. So you've got him on the case?
I said be subtle and don't make a big scene.
CSI Triple M.
I said, don't tell, for God's sakes, don't tell Mick Molloy because he will pay me out to be a diva. And Farris went, ha, had a big laugh about that. Well, next minute.
I'm on the case.
Oh, my God.
So who's I'm storming around the office reading reading out license plates. I'm trying to construct a letter to put under a windscreen, which Jane won't allow.
I will not allow photographing of registration plates.
I've pulled all the security guys into their office as we're going through CCTV footage. I've cleared the gets.
The gets is cool.
The gets is
cool. Well, that's in the executive car park behind the boom, so I know that's fine.
I don't want to make a scene. I'm just trying to find out. There's plenty of other parks.
Well, I'll tell you the latest. We've just had a memo put out, which is going to everyone in the building. Don't read out the licences, Dave, but what does it say?
From Fiona Curran, can whoever owns a white Kia, blah, 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 or white Hyundai, please ring me ASAP. Thanks.
And we know that's not your car because you don't drive anything that's worth less than a Bentley.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So straight away.
Australia now would know.
We know something's
wrong. I have a dog and five children.
Well, get
your
dog
kind of Bentley has got that?
You need a sniffer dog. And we could get the sniffer dog from the car up the stairs into the building and get him to.
Just saying.
Who did it?
It is.
To think that person's
in
this office.
We don't get many perks around here, do we? We're not a perky.
Not really.
We're not a perky show. I'm just saying, get a car park and it says, save for people who are on air.
It should be for people who are on air.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. I don't park in other spots where it's...
I don't agree with all the diva talk about you. I don't... I honestly go, no.
She's a woman of the people.
I understand how she comes across like that, but personally, I find it
all right, we'll get to the bottom of it by the end of this show, and you are shocking.
Do you know what I'm hoping?
What?
I'm hoping we have the culprit in this studio by the end of the show. It's pretty clear who we want to talk to, right?
Me too.
Those people, they're your numbers.
They're my people, you're right.
CSI, Triple M, Farris on the case.
We're on to it. Tom Gleisner to join us soon. Adam Gilchrist coming up as well. It's a big Monday.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm ropeable too. You've earned the right.
I want everybody to know this. I said to Mick, don't mention it on air today. And as the words came out my mouth. I went, well, there's our opening.
You've been a mainstay of this industry for about 40, 45 years now.
Well, a
long time. And you've earned the right to have your own cushy,
Stop with the exaggeration or you really want me to talk about how you, your mode of transport.
Jane, let's not.
And you don't even need a car park because you have a chauffeur waiting for you.
Jane, let's not lash out.
A chauffeur, a man gets out, he has a cap.
Is that the guy in the black Mercedes I see every night?
He takes Mick's briefcase from him. Jane, every day he goes, take that, sir.
Dump it.
He has a cigarette light lit ready for him to go. And he says,
checks my prostate. Jane,
don't
this is
joke
not
about things.
You
like
need,
that.
You need to.
Oh, really?
You need to calm the farm.
Okay.
So anyway, let's get back to your car park. 133353. If you've got anything you think can help, Jane,
just don't park in my spot, everybody.
Simple, really.
There's five car parks. Okay, for people who are on air.
Yeah.
Our show takes one spot because you don't need, your fancy car, you don't need one. The show before us needs two car parks. That was fine. That's where their cars were. So there were two cars parked who shouldn't have been there. About three.
How's
probably.
It coming? Any news coming through from
security? We have some news.
What is it?
Did you want to go with the news?
Please.
I'm going to break it for you right now. Whose car it is? It's the content director, Dan Bradley. It's his car. That's in your spot. Your boss.
Oh, yes.
Dan Bradley to the studio, please.
Oh, yes.
Dan Bradley.
Dan,
to the
studio,
please. Dan. You've just created a major incident.
Really
major
awkward.
Diplomatic incident.
Super awkward.
Well, that's one of the cars.
What about the other?
I wonder who the others is. Oh, that's funny.
Okay, that's what happens when...
Plus, in the meantime, let's take Karina.
Hi, Karina.
What do you want to say? Calling us from Tasmania. What do you think? Yeah.
G'day, guys. Look, I want to know why Jane hasn't got her own parking spot with a nameplate.
Karina, thank you.
Yeah, I think we should do a GoFundMe fundraiser to get you one.
Now, you may laugh and you may chortle everyone, but Karina and I know what we're saying, and it's just
so you want your same nameplate right now?
Yeah.
I want to be one of the people, Karina. I don't want to be uppity. I know I deserve it, but I just don't want to stand out from all the rest of...
Is your registration diva? Is that...
No.
Is that what you're going to put on it? Diva.
Hang on a minute.
Wait one second. Just before we get to Dan, Chris is on the line. Chris, what do you think Jane's options are in this specific incident?
I'd let all four tyres down and find out the culprit.
Let all four tyres down. Do you know what I would do?
I'm not a violent person. I don't like to do anything like that.
I've never seen you flip around. Hang on one second. Do you know what I would do? Instead of letting the tyres down, I would stab the tyres.
Oh, that's a
with
bit.
Like a big knife.
With a shiv.
Like something that wouldn't get through customs.
Right.
All right. Thanks for your calls. We have...
we have the culprit here.
We have someone right here. It's our content director, Dan Bradley.
Okay. Is this I think this is a mea culpa. When I saw the note come out, Jane, I thought...
Anything you say may be used in the forthcoming trial.
I think we need a law and order thing.
Dan, is this your first time on our show, by the way?
I think it is,
Welcome aboard.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Could be your last.
I feel like taking a sicky Dane style already.
Here we go.
All right, you're in the court.
Okay. Talk us through what you do when you drive in.
There's plenty of spots available.
Yes, Dan. Here's what happens.
Yes,
so
Dan.
I've driven through and I've gone straight through the car parks that are in the middle there, the middle ones, and I've gone nose into that spot there. Mm. And as I parked, I thought, this is one of the on it. I thought, that's okay. They're not allocated, so whatever. I didn't know they were allocated.
Wow.
That's my excuse.
Well,
however,
not good enough. I think you now need to drive Jane around for a week while she sits in the back. That's the ruling.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works.
Well, that's better than stabbing him with a shiv.
But, Dan, we won't come to work. We'll just go around and just, pop in. Maybe we have a bit of, go to a pub and have a bit of a boozy lunch.
Actually, this is getting better.
Dan, as content director, why don't we turn this into a positive? One lucky listener gets to set Dan's car on fire in the car park.
We took it from a big crane and drop it down or something.
One lucky listener gets to dump Dan's car into the Yarra.
Not bad.
Let's take advantage of this situation,
Dan.
Can
we turn Mick's mic off or something?
No, we can't. We know, but there's still one other rogue car parker. Do you know who that is?
Do we need a mediation session between you two?
I think we're okay. I'll tell you one thing, though. I'm furious with this other person. They could have done that, I've got no idea.
It's very clear, isn't it?
It's an outrage.
This spot is reserved for on-air people only.
What am I doing right now, though? I think I'm on air right in a second.
Always got to call a loophole on this one.
Thank you, Dan.
I apologise,
Dan. Move your car.
Dan,
I apologise.
Dan, see us in your office after the show.
Okay.
All right, Dan.
There he is.
Here, chuck him the keys, Jane.
Yeah.
Go.
There he goes, valet style.
Oh, Greg's called up and says, Dan's been on here now, entitled to the car.
All right, Greg.
Oh,
there you go. All right, well, there you go. I think we've got to the bottom of that.
Well, we've resolved that. We've still got one car park that's rogue. We'll keep looking. All right.
All right.
Jeez. Come back and speak to someone who's in trouble.
Now you've angered management.
Do I
look worried? I'm so experienced. I'm a woman of the world. Nothing worries me.
All right, can you bag that quote up? Because that is coming back.
Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Wow, what a powerful insight that was into the operation of this building. Content director Dan Bradley has been...
Dan's been here for a while now, hasn't he? A few months.
He had a good sense to sack you once, which I enjoyed.
Thank you. Well,
that's what I thought. He'll do well in this role.
Thank you for bringing that up again.
But he's made a very powerful enemy with Jane Kennedy, who...
That's not true.
I would hate to be on the bad side of you.
You are incorrigible today.
You will go home, stroke a white cat, and make some kind of potion.
You had
some kind of. You'd have not a voodoo doll. It's probably a bit tough. But once you're on your list, it's good night curtains. Sayonara. Waiter, check please. You're cooked.
Mm. She had this to say just before the break as well.
I'm so experienced. I'm a woman of the world. Nothing worries me. But that's true. I double down on that.
All right.
I couldn't care less how people behave.
It's only
my own personal safety I'm concerned about.
Well, that's why, that's why we wouldn't put names on car parks, would we?
Well,
they wouldn't be because
I wouldn't have thought so. I wouldn't have thought we'd just
knew Dangerous Dave's car park.
If you knew I drive a red Getz, that's
that car would be involved in some kind of.
There can't be any red Getz in the world.
Run or. Or drive by.
It gets me where I need to be.
I'm going
to
do a big segue now. Speaking of Reds, redheads.
All right, what?
Let's go to the Suki Lala redhead we know.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of karma.
Yeah.
And this is one of the great pieces of karma in the world today. Bring us up to date, Dave.
All right.
It's still legal.
I'm not going up any further.
But is it right?
Seriously, I cannot walk down here. My boots are that bloody old.
Rockstar.
G'day.
Or rock rebel.
Where's my land if it's not Australia?
England.
The two sides come together.
This belongs to all Australians.
The debate. You decide.
All right. Now, One Nation leader Pauline Hanson has finally gone to climb Uluru before it closes.
It's my right. Yeah. It's my rock.
Yeah. It closes in October, and she said, it's all of ours rocks.
Mm.
It's everyone's rock.
Right.
It's my rock.
If I want to climb that rock.
I'm going to climb that rock because it's my Australia too. So she climbs the rock. Now, I believe.
Does she, Jane? Does she?
She's with a crew from she's got on her Dales Martin from A Current Affair. Yeah. Hot on her heels. They're filming the story, but she starts to climb. And as I predicted, because I have climbed it many years ago, it's not an easy climb, and it's a little bit daunting.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's halfway up.
She has had a meltdown.
I'm not going up any further, she says.
She's actually sitting down on the rock having a meltdown, almost crying, frightened, going, I don't like it anymore.
Now, right. I don't like people feeling frightened, but this is what everyone's trying to explain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You thought it was just a little dandy walk in the park, and up you go, la, la, la. It's very sacred, as we know, to the particular Indigenous people who are around there. She's climbed it and gone, it's all of ours. She can't do it because she's a baby and it's really hard. She's blaming her footwear.
Right.
Which is really ridiculous. Anyway, you can see it on A Current Affair.
I just want to say one thing.
What a dick.
Yep. What a dick.
Yeah.
But this is what I love. It's my rock. I'll climb it if I want to. I don't like it anymore. Can I come down?
What a dick.
What did you... Now, okay, how's the climbing of the rock working out for you?
Well, she said... She said it was scary.
Okay, can I just ask you this? If this is something that you felt so strongly about and it was your right to climb and you had to climb it, yet that passion evaporated.
Yep. Pretty quick.
Pretty quickly when you saw how high you were, you saw how steep it was and you saw how
incorrect footwear.
How unprepared you were. Yep.
Yes.
And you sat on the rock and blubbed like a baby.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't
do it.
How's climbing the rock? It's your right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my right. Oh, it's my rock. Say,
in the world of Schadenfreude, I have to say.
Sometimes the universe gives you what you deserve.
Exactly.
And those pictures are hilarious.
Yep.
Mm. And it's wonderful. And can I say, from that grabber, I'm guessing that's A Current Affair.
We're playing
that from. Those two, great Aboriginal girls are teenagers. And
girls.
She's firing off at them. She's going... And there's a great grab, and I've seen it. You've got to see it. These gorgeous girls. She comes and she goes, well, if Australia's not my way, where's my home? And one of them just looks at me and goes, England?
That's awesome.
All right, we'll check that out. That really amused me.
You've made your point. Well done, Pauline.
Yeah, thank you for that.
You know what? We've all learned a lot from the whole furore about you demanding to climb the rock and then not being able to climb the rock. I don't know what the point was. I don't know how you've changed the
debate. I don't know what
the
point was either, really.
But, well done. On behalf of an entire nation.
What a dick.
All right, this is Kennedy Malloy. Coming up, Adam Gilchrist is going to join us from Mix 94.5 in Perth, and then Tom Gleisner in the second hour.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Conversation is never for on air.
Ever.
That is, keep that one in the bank. Let's hope they don't have a black box recorder. Hey, time for a new segment I call...
Really? Is it news?
Good Morning America host Lara Spencer has had to apologise for a remark she made about Prince George enjoying ballet. This has been another...
Really? Is it news?
I'm done.
I'm not convinced.
Oh, you want to investigate this further?
I'd like to investigate it.
All right. Can I just say, the Amazon is burning. There's a G7 meeting.
Yeah.
There's so much going on in the world.
We lost the ashes.
We lost the ashes! This... is the biggest news story in the world right now.
It's made a big impression.
Can you put a bit more meat on the bone?
I will. A US morning television host went on and was talking about the fact that Prince George is starting his school year and was going through his curriculum and talking about things that he studies like math, science, history.
Yep.
But when she went to describe some extracurricular activities, she did so with a bit of a guffaw.
Well, did she?
Let's have a listen.
The future King of England will be putting down the Play-Doh to take on religious studies, computer programming, poetry, and ballet, among other things. Prince William says George absolutely loves ballet. I have news for you, Prince William. We'll see how long that lasts.
Okay. So now, can you predict what the outcry and why everybody is, rightly so, up in arms about it?
Well, not rightly so. I mean, to me, okay, she's made a comment that suggests that ballerina boys will ultimately not enjoy their time as a young ballerina, and that will move on.
Because it's something to be mocked, a boy doing ballet.
Okay, so you know what you do. You go, hey, not cool, don't say it.
Yeah.
For that to become the biggest news story, for her to have to, she had to issue
an apology.
All around the world. Are you telling me, again, Amazon burning.
Yeah,
the lungs of the earth.
Yeah.
G7. Is packing up. G7 meeting, a meltdown in trade wars.
China
go berserk, Hong Kong.
Yeah.
That's it. That a morning TV. It's like Studio 10. It's like America's Studio 10.
It's America.
Yeah. Someone has said, oh, you know what? He might grow out of ballet. He is a boy.
Yeah.
And that, my friend.
It's fascinating, though.
Wow.
Gene Kelly's, the great Gene Kelly dancer of all time.
Singing in the Rain.
Yes. His wife, Gene Kelly, of course, passed away a long time ago. His wife has written to the head of ABC News saying, this is up for bullying. It puts boys doing ballet in a bad light. It's taken all these years to get over the stigma to have male dancers.
Okay, we agree. Apologies, move on.
Yeah, we're done.
Why does the whole world have to stop?
Because it involves the royal family and that little Prince George that you're a bit rude about.
It involves the woke. Oh, you can't, God damn it. You can't say
I'm with you.
Can we move on to some hard news?
Sure.
Some serious news.
All right. Okay, do we have to guess whether this is news or not?
Well, no, this is actually just, this is hard news. Oh, and right. This is what we should be covering.
Listen,
instead of that. The purple wiggle, Lachlan Gillespie, is dating ballerina Dana Stevenson.
Okay.
Now, the purple wiggle, Lachlan, you may remember, was married to the yellow wiggle, Emma Watkins.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Dumped her.
Didn't dump.
Moved on, left her high and dry.
Didn't leave her
and is now sashayed into a steamy relationship.
Steamy?
With a ballerina. I put it to you, the purple wiggle is a pants man.
Oh. Really? Is it news?
I put it to you, the purple wiggle is getting around town. And by the way, purple wiggle is what I call my penis.
Okay.
it's a pet name.
Okie doke. Is that news?
Dave's lost it.
Quick, I'm trying to get
it. Oh, my God.
Or I was going to play What a Dick.
Oh, okay.
It's a toss-up between
what
the two.
What a dick.
Do you know what I'm saying? Now,
obviously, I don't.
The other wiggle.
He's just a normal guy,
red-blooded guy. You're doing good just to wake Jeff up. You spent time on set because you were Dentist Jane, famously Dentist Jane. I have to ask you, a purple wiggle, all hands. Were you ever involved in a hashtag MeToo incident?
No, I was not, and I did even work with the octopus. And he wasn't too handsy.
Henry
the octopus.
Henry was all hands.
Henry was not all hands with me.
Henry.
Dorothy was really, you know.
Dorothy.
Sweet.
Well, Dorothy's, you know.
What?
You don't know which way Dorothy.
What about Captain Feathersword? He would have had to touch you up at some stage. Or as I call him, Captain Porksword.
Hang on.
No comment. No, I'm not commenting on that. We can't talk about
it. Okay, I'll put
like
it this way. One more question.
I won't have it.
Were you ever involved when you were on set? Did you ever get the big red car rocking? What? Tell me what happened.
Now, you've got to be very careful because the Wiggles can be very strong.
They're litigious.
Corporation, they could be litigious, so be very careful what you're saying.
Why would they turn on me?
Because you're acting really irresponsibly.
Just call him Captain Porksword.
Correct.
Instead of Feathersword.
It was a closed set, mind you, when I was working.
Really? Why don't you just make Charlie Sheen the purple wiggle? I don't know anymore. Purple. Right. Be out there. take your capsicum spray. Can I say this?
What?
They're good eggs, the Wiggles.
They are.
Of course they are. That's enough from you.
All right.
Stand by.
Hey, when we come back,
Adam Gilchrist.
The drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
The Aussies came out firing overnight at the third Ashes test in Leeds, and the urn seemed in reach when Dave Warner removed England's captain.
What a catch that is.
But while the wickets tumbled, Ben Stokes delivered an innings for the ages.
Away for six. Up to the boundary. 100 for Ben Stokes.
And it was blunders in the field that cost Australia victory.
Yeah, big cry of catch. Third man comes in. Doesn't carry. Could be a runner. Now everyone looks. They needed that review.
Australia have been very, very poor with the reviews. They burnt that one and it's cost them the test match.
Losses like that have got to hurt and it's going to hurt. However, the great thing about Ashes cricket is it's a series.
Here to review all the weekend's Ashes action, please welcome back cricketing great Adam Gilchrist.
Hello, Gilly.
G'day, hello,
mate.
Gilly.
Hey, Jane.
You watched it, wow. No doubt. You saw it live on your couch. talk us through the emotions that you were going through as we effectively won the Ashes. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that Ben Stokes was out plumb. Hell BW, not given out. They get to bat on. What say you? Where are we? Is this one of the great sporting tragedies?
Well, just listening to Tim Payne there talking through gritted teeth about, the great thing about the Ashes, it's a series and we've been in winning position. I'm trying to take a positive from it, and the only positive I can come up with is that because it was all finished in 4 days, I've got a fresh pair of trackies sitting there, that unsoiled,
very
ready
smart
for the next game. I don't need to wash those ones. But, you're right, Mick, we did. We had the winning wicket, given not out umpire Joel Wilson.
So he why wouldn't he give that
what
out?
What country is he from?
He's from the Caribbean.
Oh, is he okay?
West Indian.
So why wouldn't he give that? That's plumb. It's absolutely
that's
plumb.
A panicked decision. That's an under pressure decision. Not dissimilar to the panicked under pressure decision of Tim Payne and the bowlers about four overs before, where they blew a referral. That was a sort of a reckless desperation attempt to just squeeze some sort of decision out of nowhere.
Do you shout at the telly when that happens? When it was plumb and he wasn't out?
Look, I can get as worked up as you like, but what I've realised in my retirement is that it's amazing how quickly I can get over a loss now just by flipping off the remote control on the TV. I was snug in bed about 4 minutes later and sound asleep 6 minutes later, but I was watching it with my two eldest boys and we're screaming at the TV. No, don't review it. Oh, he did. And then you sort of don't want to say, I hope that doesn't cost
us. Hope that doesn't come back to bite us.
And we had chances too. Nathan Lyon fumbled a run out there. A couple of half chances, but you just got to give that out as an umpire.
Yeah.
And then if it's at, Stokes is going to refer it anyway, so you'll find out for sure whether it's
that's
out or
right
not, and rest easy on that decision.
Do you think sometimes in the umpire's mind they abrogate their responsibility by going, bugger it, I'll let them settle it out on review?
I think there's some decisions that have been made as a general statement where they just sort of, I'm not so sure, and they just say no. They'd rather say no. Mind you, pretty much everything that guy gave out in the first test was reviewed
and overturned.
So, the poor fella's confidence has been pounded. I don't think he's down to do either of the last two test matches, so that's probably good news for both teams.
Now, listen, we all know how hard these things are to win, especially on foreign soil. Mm. To win or retain the Ashes in England, it's a rare thing that happens a couple of times in a lifetime. How do the boys come, and effectively you've done it and then you didn't get it. So what happens is, what happens emotionally and psychologically going into the next two tests? Because I still think we played pretty good cricket, apart from letting them off the chain a couple of times in the second innings.
Yep.
We've played pretty good cricket. If you had to pick it, I reckon we've played more solid cricket than them. Are we going in confident, or are we going in a bit sulky? What are we doing?
Yeah, slightly more consistent cricket than England. The use of the second new ball in that second innings last night was pretty average, and that might have gone a fair way to contributing to the loss. But I'm glad that for their sake, the Australian team's sake, there's a 9-day break now. There's a tour match in there that, the big guns will all cool their heels and go away on a trip somewhere, maybe try and track down where their wives are because they weren't at the cricket or none of that. But, so I believe from the stories I've been reading.
Well, it's not even alleged because they were taking plenty of Instagram shots of it, Gilly.
Yeah.
And, It was the last day. It was the rain affected second test. Was
the
it
Lord's test? Yeah.
And there were some empty seats.
There's some empty seats
that are kept for the Wags.
Yeah. And they're saying that Cricket Australia pay for their ticket. I'm putting this to you because you can answer this question. You can put this one to bed. Pay for their tickets, put them up in hotels, give them the seats, and for them, and then the picture of the Daily Mail, whatever you believe, is that they couldn't be bothered with cricket and are out having a party. They're shopping at Harrods, they're fine dining, they're Instagramming. Yeah. And
in fact, it was Tim Payne and Nathan Lyon's girlfriends, Em McCarthy and Bonnie, they were updating that fact that they were wearing matching Christian Dior slides. Yeah. Their sandals.
While we're under the pump.
While we're
FIFA 40. Yeah,
well, interesting.
The accusation may be that Cricket Australia would be disappointed that the girls aren't there, the partners aren't there to support
but
the guys.
But they can't win because first they're told you can't hang around because we don't want you around.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I must admit, it's probably not just this era that this might be an issue. Yeah. I remember, as far as that support, my wife Mel had a wonderful full day at the cricket one day. I think it was in Melbourne. No, sorry, it was in Sydney. And I scored what I thought was a pretty exciting 100, test match 100.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't come around all that. Got back to the hotel room that night, walked in. She said, oh, sweetie, great day at the cricket. Did you bat or bowl today? So don't assume
you're
just because they're at the cricket that they're fully engaged in
you're
the game.
You're joking.
No, that's
brilliant.
That's fair. But the good thing is she didn't have any clothes clashing with any of the other partners because that can be a big issue in the environment.
Yes, and what about the legendary cat fights? How did, in your era, everyone get on? Was it? I'm trying to find some trouble here.
Well, the last time we did win the Ashes in England was 2001. Fantastic, very tight-knit group. I reckon 2005 is where we handed them over.
Yes.
It had been about an 18-year reign, and we gave them the Ashes back. And I reckon on tour there was a few little chinks in the armour of our support group. And I don't mean the team doctor and the physio. But anyway, that's been well documented across a number of autobiographies.
I love it. Any fascinating insights from you regarding the behaviour? It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. I blame them for us losing
the test.
I beg
you. You can't do that. You're blaming the Wags.
In all seriousness, I reckon the journos make a diary note on tour. Go, oh, we must write that Wag.
Yeah, we haven't done the Wag story for a while.
Poor things. They're just trying to live their life. Some of them are a bit more out there than others. Social media.
The Instagram world is very different, So
it is.
Hey, Gilly, can you hang around? Because there's another conversation that's raised its head.
Yeah.
Bouncer, should it be banned? Yeah. I want to hear from you. This issue.
Adam Gilchrist is joining us from our Mix 94.5 studios in the great state of WA. More with Gilly right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
And joining us is Adam Gilchrist as well. I've been talking last night's Ashes as well. Jada Mick, Kennedy Malloy.
From our studio Mix 94.5 over there in the great state of WA. Once again, Australia have been ripped off. The English have had a good summer, haven't they? They've been awarded a World Cup they really shouldn't have by the letter of the law, New Zealand won. And they've just been, dodged a bullet regarding the Ashes, which we would have taken home had the right call been made. Let's put that to one side, Gilly.
And on that note too, Ben Stokes, one of the luckiest men alive, isn't he?
Involved in both instances.
He fluked his way to man of the match in both of those games. Magnificent centuries. Bowled 16 over straight in the first, but lucky.
And now he's going to get knighted by the Queen, I would suggest.
He's having a better 2019 than he did in 2017.
Seems to be.
I thought it was funny when we wouldn't let him come out here and tour because of the court charge. I thought, didn't we used to accept all the criminals? Didn't we used to accept all the convicts from England originally?
Yeah.
Hey, Gilly, so in the wake of the Steve Smith incident and him being taken out of the game with concussion, there is a bit of a debate going on about the legitimacy of the bouncer, its place in the game, and whether or not it should be banned. And I've heard a number of discussions on sporting shows and morning shows, and pundits are weighing in. It's a massive, massive call if anything comes of this. Before we have a discussion, can I ask you straight up how you feel that would affect Test cricket in particular?
Yeah, it would totally ruin the game as for what it is, the whole sort of fundamentals and constitution of the game. You might as well perhaps just say, well, let's get rid of test cricket. We'll just play limited overs, white ball cricket, and where it's restricted on how many bounces you can bowl, which it is too. It's monitored and restricted in test
cricket. That's right. You get warned.
You know, there's rules in place that the umpires can enforce if they deem it necessary. So, yeah.
If it's dangerous, if it's overuse.
Is that arbitrary, the overuse, when you say they're warned, is that an arbitrary warning from an umpire at the time?
Yeah, open to interpretation too for the umpire at the time. So, it's tough to understand exactly what each individual interpretation is.
There was a time, Gilly, when they would go easy on, where they would say, you know, careful, he's a tail ender. The guy can hardly protect himself. Okay. Does that still exist in the umpire's mind?
No, the fast bowlers club is out the window. That changed into Glenn McGrath, Craig McDermott pretty much ruined that in 1995. Or more so McGrath, just bowling bounces at Curtly Ambrose and Courtney Walsh and then after that, it's just been since.
Gilly, I have to agree with to me. If you knew the bouncer was not a legitimate delivery, I reckon I could bat for Australia because the part of the idea that there's a chance I might get injured.
We're just letting that go through.
That I have to. Well, honestly, if there's no fear attached or there's no strategy attached, not only are you banning the bouncer, you're really getting rid of the hook shot. Probably getting rid of the pull shot. You're probably getting rid of some of the greatest centuries ever made, some of the greatest bowling spells. I mean, still, to me, the greatest encounter of the last test was Steve Smith and Archer going at each other. It's the Titanic discussion. And if it's for, and we all remember the terrible, terrible
tragic,
Phil Hughes.
That wasn't a cricketing accident. That was just a freak of nature incident. Correct. That, like,
of all the cricket that's played in the world,
exactly. You know. Do we stop driving because there's a car crash somewhere that someone's injured or dies in? No. The technology on offer now with head safety. So 50 years ago, no helmets. We've now got helmets. Now we're going to improve the technology around the back of the neck. We always thought we've got to cover our face and our nose. We don't want to break a jaw. Well, you'd take a broken jaw rather than
the neck,
circumstances that could be created. So they're improving that around the back of the neck. That'll continue.
And players what about Steve not playing? The problem of second impact concussion is an issue.
No drama with that. We're far better educated in that space. We've got sports scientists that are all over it.
Yeah.
The players aren't complaining about it. I don't hear any whinging. Everyone is fully aware of the dangers and what's at place and at stake. But I don't think anyone that really loves the game and understands it would try to see it eliminated.
Gilly, I see the bean ball as a legitimate delivery.
Bring
I really
do. Back. I think referred to in some areas as the doodle bug. It can confuse people because it's actually at the head, not sort of the mid section of you, but the doodle bug. Yeah, that's not too bad. That's tough to face.
The only other option, if you want to bowl bounces non-stop all day, taped up tennis ball, which always
backyard rules.
Nasty, particularly on the wet cement next to the pool.
Hey, Gilly, thanks as always for being our man on the ground and
educating
us about test cricket.
Great fun. All around. Love it.
All right.
Come on the Aussies next time.
Aussies.
Well done, mate. We'll speak to you then.
Adam Gilchrist there. Tom Gleisner next.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yeah, baby, it's going to be an absolute humdinger. I call bullshit up and running. What have you got? Give me something.
Jennifer Aniston's dating a multi-billionaire, but who cares? She does that all the time. I know. There's a bi girl on, possibly, there's a bi person on The Bachelor.
Oh,
I'm going to tell you who it is.
You've been done today. Have you not across everything?
Yes, we are.
Have you read the women's mags?
I've gone through.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of that.
Angela Jolie, forced to eat.
That'll be great. Okay, now we're talking.
That's better.
Listen, did you just give me another Purple Wiggle bombshell?
I did.
Are we allowed to run with it?
Yes, I think
I think we have been contacted
it's public knowledge.
By the big red lawyer.
Yeah.
Yum, yummy, suey, suey.
we'll keep
that on
track. Yeah, we'll keep that tracking.
We've got an interesting competition we want to know from you. Have your parents embarrassed you in any
specific
way?
Michelle and Barack Obama, I think, have embarrassed their daughters. with a list they've just put out.
All right. Hey, it's going to be a load of fun. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start the hour with this bloke.
The last time Tom Gleisner joined us, he'd recently returned from a trip to Ireland.
We heard about the famine. God, that was a fascinating trip.
Oh, the
trip.
Famine. Gee, tell me more.
The most depressing bus trip we've ever done to Connemara. And if you look to your left here, this is where the entire village died. Oh, really?
And with Mondays being Have You Been Paying Attention Nights, 8:30 on 10, please welcome back show host Tom Gleisner.
Tommy.
Yeah, Tom Gleisner, Order of Australia.
Ooh, I believe so.
Yes.
But it's faded.
Is that your pickup line? Yeah. Is that your...
Oh, I wear the badge.
Do you wear the badge sometimes?
No.
Or do you, now, are you obliged to wear the badge? I've always been fascinated by that.
Only when Prince Philip dies. I believe I've got it ready. I've got it polished. Standing by. That's the only time you'll see it.
A lot of people do, though, permanently
do wear
it.
Where do you keep it?
There's like a little trophy cabinet at home along with the...
It's quite famously worn on the lapel of jackets. Do you own a jacket? Mm.
That's a good point. No, yes. No.
That's where I was leading. Yeah, I didn't think you had one.
No, rarely wear a jacket, so don't really wear the badge.
And not male jewellery either. You're not really a bling guy, are you?
No.
What about nose piercing? Has anybody ever gone down that track with the Order of Australia?
Never gone piercing. And you know, tats. Everyone figures you should get a tattoo at a certain point in your life. Yeah. My biggest whole drawback for a tat is, what would you get? Like, what do you want for the rest of your life?
I've thought about this.
And?
A giant bucket of Kentucky.
Nice.
On my chest, because I don't know about you, but I reckon there'll be a real chick magnet.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Have you investigated?
No. Well, as I say, the stopping point for me is not the pain. I reckon I could push through that, and I could even...
Seeing neck tattoos.
Oh,
I'm seeing neck tattoos.
I'm just thinking, you know, you've got nothing to lose, have you?
Yeah.
Have you been paying attention?
Your dignity? No, it's not going to happen.
It'd be great if you turned up with a sleeve on Have You Been Paying Attention or some barbed wire.
Not going to happen.
We'll be excellent.
Teardrop. I had a look at my family because I did the same thing. I said, I just can't be, because historically tattoos were associated with criminals. Or sailors, far as I can
that's right.
Remember. And that's what they signify. Now it's fashion. So you can be 22 and have a sleeve or have all that kind of hoopla. But I thought, if you, it means nothing to me. I can get cultures that do have significant tattoos and body markings.
Not for middle-aged guys. Do you ever watch...
So the only one, sorry, quickly, Tommy, the only one I ever looked at was my family crest.
Oh, okay,
which is the rampant lion and three love hearts. And I went, hello,
hang
girls.
On, that's all right. Yeah.
Imagine that on my bot.
A little bit of pain. No. Do you ever watch The Good Place, the Netflix series with Ted Danson?
I've seen one or two.
He went through a midlife crisis, his character, and he got a tat, of course, as part of that, and they asked him what it was, and he said, it's the Chinese symbol for Japan. that's kind of where I'd be at.
In the old days, I considered getting a tattoo of Melway's roadmap, map 54, because that had my street on it. So when you were really drunk and got into a cab,
you could just point...
You're always thinking, aren't you?
Pointing to your butt cheek. Yeah. Nice.
Always thinking.
Hey, who's on tonight's program before we go any further?
The usuals are back with a Cavalry Pang. We've got Susie Yusuf, Ash London, plus Lloyd Langford, our favourite Welshman.
Lloyd, he was really good.
He's been on before and he got a very good reaction.
He did. He's excellent. So he's been over in touring Europe, I believe. And he's just back in town and he's on the show tonight. So that's very exciting.
I'm still no word about my next appearance. I wait by the letterbox. There'll be some news soon.
Has he upset anybody? Because it has been a while.
No, I reckon he was on a couple of weeks ago. In fact, the last time I was in, you were hassling me.
What are you saying? That's it. Come and call you in a couple of months.
No, Mickey, you know, the door is open. The door is open.
I love it there.
I was going to say, were you watching the cricket too, Tommy?
It was a very late night, and it's that dilemma of do I go one bit more. I got a call from Warwick Todd at about 2 a.m. He's over in England. He's leading a supporters tour, which is not going well because he's not allowed within 200 metres of a sporting facility. So the clients aren't all that happy, but no, he was shattered, as were we.
The last of Warwick Todd. I mean, I always thought Warwick Todd should do live appearances. If Warwick Todd got on the speaking circuit on the Sportsman's Night, I tell you, you are.
That's not so absurd, though, is it, Tom? Warwick Todd to
travel? It is. You never know. Could a couple of cashies for Warwick. He could, the Sportsman's Night.
All right, hang about. When we come back, you've got a major issue at home. Mm. There's possums in the roof. Can I say it?
It's serious.
We'll get to the point of that.
All right, Tom Gleisner's with us. Yes, and have you been paying attention tonight? 8:30 on Channel 10 and the Wynn Network.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Tom's so we can't talk about that.
No, we can't talk about that.
Cannot talk about that.
You know better than this.
Stop it.
Can Jane find out when she goes home tonight?
Possibly. possibly. We move on.
I'll hunt this down. We're with Tom Gleisner, of course. Have you been paying attention on tonight, Channel 10? Great show. I loved the girl you had, who was the girl from The Bachelor.
Vaku.
She was great. Generally, they come out and it's like lambs to the slaughter and you just watch them get hurled abuse.
She was fantastic
and seemed to give it back.
She was really smart chick.
And you got a picture of her pashing another chick there.
Yes, I've currently got a picture of her cracking onto Rachel.
Go on.
So she ticks all Mickey's boxes.
Getting better and better.
Since they've left the show, they've hooked up.
She should be the next Bachelor. Bang. Kiss 22. He's got pash rash, The Bachelor. Did I hear that?
He got pash rash because now they wear on purpose. I thought the other day I saw the women all dolled up and I did say in the lounge room, gosh, they're using very bright, almost fluoro lipstick. That's absurd. I wonder why. Cut to a date, have a pash, said lipstick all over The Bachelor. Then he looks like the Riddler.
He looked like the Joker. He looked like the clown from It.
Pennywise.
It was terrible.
Tommy, let's talk about something Tom can join in on, because I don't think Bachelor is his strong suit.
Tom loves The Bachelor. He loves it.
Do you watch it?
He does watch it.
Oh, we watch it for the show as much as anything. It's for work purposes.
I watch it for work.
I read it for the articles.
Now, listen, what's going on? Speaking of your home, what is going on? Do you have an issue?
We have had some issues over months now, noises in the ceiling. You know that? And you go, there's something up there. And you just want to ignore it, but eventually...
Well, you're hoping it's a mouse because that's easy to control.
Exactly. No, there's yellow stains started coming down one of the walls.
It's haunted.
Well, exactly. We either needed a priest for an exorcism or a pest removaler. So, you know, you go online and it's the obvious, the go-to, Peter the Possum Man.
Oh, yeah.
And let's just say you do live with a vet.
Oh, dude, exactly. Retired vet. She wasn't willing to give it anything.
Knowledge all of a sudden goes.
I don't do possums.
So when there's Ron's rodent removalers, and there was one that was just called A1 Exterminations. And it just had a photo of a bloke in a balaclava. And they were strictly cash only, so I figured maybe it's...
They were the ones? Did you choose any?
When you go onto the Google search, I always feel sorry for the first few get all the glory. Mm. You go to like five or six
good
down
on
the list.
You.
Thank you. Yeah. On to the next page. Anyway, so he came out and, the first thing he said, you know, he's going to have to take a look around in the, you know, head up into the roof. And I said, that's fine, just be careful of the hydroponic plant setup. Turned out we had like not one, not two, an entire like a boarding house.
You're joking.
It was like the roof was moving.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, possums are pack animals.
They find a good nest, it's like call your mates.
All fun at the Gleisner's house.
You got it. So I say, fine, there's possums. Can you just, you know, spray?
Is it built on an ancient burial ground or something? What are you doing?
This will be interesting. How does one get rid of a possum family?
A bit, Jane, because I assume they just like fumigate. No, it's all very eco.
You can't kill them. They're protected.
Oh, God, didn't I hear that?
Yeah, are you kidding me?
Of course the possum's protected in this country.
It's a rat. Back in the day, they would, your pest person would just go, would you like me to relocate it? And every time they used the word relocate, they'd wink. You know, now they actually, so we had to put in, it had to climb up there and fit this one-way door. There's one way, so seal up the hole, and then there's one-way door.
Put a bit of apple in it.
Yeah, no, this is just so that they go out at night, like teenagers, and they can't get back in, like teenagers. And that eventually, that's the theory, that they all leave and they can't get back. Mm-hmm. But then he said, I'll come back in a couple of weeks and just check that it's, you know, it's all good, all done. So he came back just the other day, went up, and there's still one possum there. Mm. Apparently, like, a really fat one who was obviously just getting the others to go out.
Fat Tony.
Fat Tony couldn't get through the door.
So he says, well, look, I don't often have to do this, but he got a set of just a couple of little speakers out, popped them up in the roof, and... we are possum free, ladies and gentlemen.
A bullet would be a better way of going.
Excellent.
Did you ever consider calling Dr. Chris Brown?
Oh, that's
interesting. Even just for in
Popeye?
In Intel. He's a guy. He's on the network.
He is indeed.
I've got his number.
Oh.
Hey, thank you for swinging by.
Tommy, we'll see you tonight on
the show. I can't wait.
Big show.
Big show. Can you tell us who your guests are? Like,
guest Quizmasters?
Quizmasters?
Christy Whelan Brown, the star of Stage and Screen, coming up in Neighbours soon. Plays a psycho, apparently. And
it won't be a stretch for her.
Ezzy Magbugor, who's a basketball a player. In fact, friend of the show. Friend of the show is anyone who's either been on before or we've thought of
or
having
is available.
On either.
All right.
Thank
8:30 tonight on 10. Tom Gleisner, Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
You know when something's really terrible, that we've got something that's coming up and you go, oh, I just don't know how to face it. And then somebody else goes, oh, I don't think that's so bad.
I'll take
the bullet for the team. That happened to me on Sunday morning.
Someone did something nice for you?
Yes, because I wasn't feeling 100%.
Would you like to name them? Rob,
I live with. And there was a soccer game and it was really early and it was really, really far away. Now, that wasn't the problem.
Was it cold?
Yeah, it's cold and it's early and it's that's not the problem.
Right.
The problem was that I had a duty that I was supposed to do and I really wasn't looking forward to it because I've never done it before and didn't understand it.
This is not on.
Okay,
so what did you do? What were you supposed to do?
The duty was I was a marshal.
Okay.
And that's where you have to escort the ref onto the field.
That's pretty easy.
For soccer. Yeah, but this is like under 13. I don't know why we're doing that, by the way. When it's under 13, you need protection for a referee.
What kind of protection are you offering? Protection from what? Hurled insults?
Possibly.
Physical attack?
I still don't understand the theory of it.
What are you protecting him from?
Well, I think it's just a sign of respect, right? Now, the other distressing thing is...
So what's so hard about that, by the way?
You've got to wear high vis. That's all right. I don't mind a bit of high vis. Okay, you know, trading Jane.
Just stop me right there.
Yeah.
Why do you have to wear high vis? What possible danger could you be in?
Because it just lets you stand out. Yeah. Dave knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we have umpire escorts with our kids' football as well.
Yeah. Why are you in high vis?
So that everybody can know, the supporters know, look out, there's Jane Kennedy. Yes. She's really scary.
Geez.
Stay away.
Wow.
Anyway,
well
I was about to get up.
You've done it again.
Yeah, I know. Talk about nanny state.
This country.
Oh, it's everywhere across Australia for kids' sports.
Quite common.
Parents all have to do this. Anyway,
it's
I was
our national
like,
costume.
It is.
High vis.
There you go.
That
could be.
It is our national costume.
Well, I was about to get dressed and do it all, and Rob said, do you know what? That's fine. You stay home today, and I'll do it.
Oh, yes. What a guy.
Okay.
He did it, and he goes, I enjoy that job. Yeah. That's good
so
fun.
So was he being kind, or was he getting like a get-out-of-jail-free card?
No.
Or did he genuinely, cheerfully
he's being
want kind, to go and do
and he's that sort of bloke.
He's
he
a good dad,
that.
Isn't
good
he?
And I went, oh, good for you. And he goes, I enjoy that. I'm going to go out and see Bales.
Do you know what that is? In the one anecdote, good parenting and bad parenting.
Not the bad.
Rob, he'd be nothing without Rob.
I punched the air, I have to tell you. Now,
yours would be like a reform
school. I've done my fair share. I've done canteen. I've done barbecue.
Timekeeping? That's a tough one.
I never haven't done timekeeping yet. We've only got one game to go.
Oh, well, that'll be tough. So you'll be high vis for that.
I'd be worried about me.
You've got to touch a clock. Anything could happen.
No, it's nerve-wracking doing timekeeping.
But high vis is probably is required.
No, you don't need high vis for timekeeping.
I think you should. We can't be too safe.
That's right. Now, speaking of parents
we'll do
and parenting.
Parenting.
When have you embarrassed your children? And I'm suggesting that Michelle and Barack Obama have just embarrassed their daughters, who are now 20, 18. I think that's about how
those
old they are.
Those girls who grew up in the public eye.
And who are just saying, God, we're out of the White House, everything's fine.
They've been
very
well protected by their parents,
I have to say,
who did a great job.
Yeah. They did.
They look like great kids.
Okay, Barack has just put this out. He put this out yesterday on Twitter. With summer winding down, here's a sampling of what Michelle and I have been listening to. Some new, some old, some fast, some slow. Hope you enjoy. Oh, my God, it's his summer playlist 2019. No!
Okay. I'm going to stop you there. Now, is it the songs that are embarrassing or is it the idea that you would put those out,
idea.
Your kids would go, Mum, Dad,
idea.
What do you do?
Hey, look, Mum and Dad are so cool. We have a playlist and we listen in the car. We might just, when we're having a bite to eat, the two of us have the music.
If you and Rob did that,
oh, my
what
kids would
your
would
kids
just
do?
Kill us. They go, what are you doing? Okay, now here's a sample of some of the tracks.
Okay.
That he's got. Let's play. Are you reeling in the
Steely Dan.
Maximum embarrassment.
Get in your Mustang, guys, and head down the Big Sur.
Who's ever listening to that?
That's what they are. Well, what about the next
don't give
one?
Him any ideas here.
No, try
we'll
another one.
Allow it.
Van Morrison.
Dancing in the Kitchen.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's a bit dad dancing.
Please, that's click your finger dancing.
But
if
I like
heard
the
it.
Song.
All right, next one. I've got you. Okay, yes, it's Frank Sinatra.
So we're all over the shop, though. There's no consistency to it.
And then just to make sure they're still groovy, let's hear the fourth one. I'm gonna
take my horse to the woods. They've been told to put that on.
There you go. But I was wondering, have you as parents or your parents done something?
Have you been embarrassed by your
parents'
behaviour? Like putting that out. If you're saying you, if you put out a playlist, your kids would go.
Oh well, they just go. Don't even do it, please. I don't. Your kids don't even want to know that you listen to music.
My parents have embarrassed me a lot. I've told my mum, can you please not put my bins out in daylight hours because people see it and it reflects poorly on me. Can you at least wait till it's dark? 133353. We're going to take your calls. Come on.
Yeah.
Have your parents embarrassed you in any way whatsoever? Or if you're a parent, we'll allow
we'll
that.
Yeah, we'll take that too.
What have you done to your kids?
This is Kennedy Malloy.
How have your parents embarrassed you? We've got a full board of calls.
I've suggested that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama have embarrassed their girls because they've put out a playlist of songs they kind of dig and they're so cool.
In your house, that would cause great consternation amongst the
children. I think whenever we listen to music, it's embarrassing for our kids. Yeah. So what are you doing? Turn it down.
You're pretty much everything you do at the moment.
Pretty much.
It's an embarrassment. So we've got a few calls on the line. Before, I got a friend of mine, Roger, who said to his daughter, Samantha, at the time, she was allowed to go to a nightclub. Mm-hmm. He said, you need to be home
by a certain time,
by 11:30. Mm. And anyway, she wasn't home. So he turned up to the nightclub in his pajamas. He went upstairs and he fished her out of a heaving, thumping nightclub in his gym jams.
Right.
I think the lesson here has been learned.
Salute you, Roger.
Roger. All right.
We got a full board. Let's go to Karen. Karen.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Really good. Tell me how you embarrass your kids.
Okay, I just got sick of them being teenagers and you'd go to the school drop-off and they'd just grunt at you and get out of the car. So I said, the next time you don't say goodbye nicely, I'm going to chase you down through the schoolyard yelling, don't go, don't go, I love you.
And tell us, please tell us it happened.
And?
Did you?
I did it.
Oh,
Karen.
What did they do?
They sort of shrunk down into the ground and...
Don't go, I love you.
I've used a similar tactic, Karen, and it is effective.
I'm guessing that's never happened again, Karen.
One day, our daughter put her foot out of the car and I said, what? And she went, I'm sorry.
Prize for Karen, Dave.
Yes, prize pack coming your way. Thanks,
good
Karen.
Stuff, Karen. Jason's on the line. Jason, have you been embarrassed by your parents?
Yeah, definitely, mate. On the end of year footy trip, under 18s, the old man was designated bus driver for the trip. Yes. It was the first night, just warmed into the long weekend, and at 8:30, the old man decided to tell me to go to bed at 8:30 in front of the whole team.
It's under 18s. Yeah. It's under 8. It's not under 12.
Go to bed, and did they all give you a ribbing?
Oh, they sure did the whole weekend. They're going, is it your bedtime yet? Oh,
yeah, it's not like a bunch of blokes to turn on one of their own if they see an opening. Yeah, good work.
Good on you. Thank you. Hey, Bryn.
Yeah, how you going, Jane?
Yeah, good. What have you had to live with all your life?
Look, my mum gave me a little nickname when I was a toddler.
Yeah.
Spunky Doodle.
Hang on, what was it?
Spunky Doodle.
And okay.
She'd pull it out every now and then as a bit of a joke, but then one day she pulled it out in front of a couple of teenage mates of mine when I was a teenager, and that was it. For the rest of high school,
Spunky Doodle.
Yeah.
Oh man, Spunky Doodle is possibly the worst thing you can be called as a teenage boy.
And as a teenage boy in Ferntree Gully, lovely.
Does it still pop its head up from time to time, Bryn?
Oh
no, I'm in my 40s now. No.
Thanks, Spunky Doodle.
Thanks for the call, Spunky Doodle.
All right, let's go to Stuart.
Yeah.
Stuart, what did your mum do?
Oh, g'day. Yeah, my sister and I forgot our school lunches, so Mum chased down the school bus on the South Eastern Freeway in Adelaide, pulled us over, got out in her dressing gown and slippers, and said, come get your lunches. We all had to have kisses and cuddles, and we're embarrassed.
Kisses and cuddles too. I'm so
impressed and cuddles.
By the Australian parenting.
Oh, this is gold. So get a present.
Price pack for you too, Stuart. Well done, mate.
These are all winners, these calls. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Embarrassed by your dad?
Yeah, 21st birthday, 100 family and friends. Gives me a commemorative 21st key. Says, here's the key to Joe's chastity belt. I think she's been going out with Lock Smith.
Chastity belt.
Hang on, did you hear the whole thing? Here's the key to Joe's chastity belt. I think she's been going out with locksmiths.
Good on your dad.
He was pretty proud of that line, though.
I have suspicions my daughter may have been putting it about.
Oh,
he may as well have said.
Oh, don't get that scared.
God, Joanne, that's really super.
Did you have words with Dad? Did your mum have words to Dad? Was Dad had had a couple?
And he's had 1 or 2 years, and we just stood there with our hands in it.
Oh, my Lord.
Gold. Give her a prize,
yeah,
Dave.
Prize all right. For you, Joanne.
Hey, let's go to Dennis. Yeah. Hey, Dennis, what happened?
Hi, how you going?
Are you the one that embarrassed your kid?
I did. My son, Michael, was a grade 5 birthday party, and we turned up a week early. So we rocked up at 6 o'clock, and we got there 7 days too early, and he copped it for a whole week.
Oh, no. Friends. That's excruciating.
And how did you find out it was too early?
Well, we went to the house, we knocked on the door, and then we both yelled out, happy birthday. and the folks there said, oh, look, thank you for the best wishes, but you're here a week early.
Oh, there you go.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy. Onlookers. A source close to industry. Source insiders.
Our friends of associates. Speculation. Room eyewitnesses. Katie exposed my penis.
It's time to call bullshit.
All right, here we go.
New idea, world exclusive.
Yep.
Yes, it's true. Harry and Chelsea, how Meghan drove him away. Prince Harry and Chelsea, who was with ages ago.
His old girl.
Who was, when he was good time, fun time Harry.
Drove him away. He lives in fear of that woman.
Mm. Yeah, he's in fear of her.
He has changed 180 degrees. What happened to nude billiards, Harry? Yeah.
Now
it's being lectured by Harry about our responsibility. Don't have more than 2 kids.
No,
I'm sorry. What happened to the Harry I love?
No, he's changed.
You've taken him.
His brother and me, their relationship's all broken.
Nancy pants.
Terrible. All right, Woman's Day. Mm. New Diana letter found. My husband's planning an accident in my car.
I call bullshit.
Okay, let's be straight. These magazines have already killed her because they chased her into a tunnel and killed her.
Now they've found
Now they're still milking her death.
How many years later?
There is a secret letter in Diana's handwriting that says, my husband's planning an accident, there will be brake failure, and I will have a serious head injury.
I will be driving from the Ritz, and I will be with the son of the owner of Harold's.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's actually in order for him to marry Tiggy, not Camilla, another woman. Oh, yeah.
Can I just say, there's irony in this, isn't there? They chased her into a tunnel and killed her. And now they must be going, oh, my God, we killed the goose that laid the golden egg. Because they could still be writing these stories as every day
but
Princess Di walks out of her front.
Look, they've got Princess Diana on the front
of
Woman's
Day. She was dead 30 years ago. She's still on the cover.
And she will sell any excuse to have
You'll
Diana.
You'll pick that up and buy it.
Yeah, people will buy it.
Yeah.
Not me, but other people.
Unbelievable.
Do you want one more headline?
Just please.
Secret plot to push Koshy out.
I call bullshit.
It's a cash cow, isn't
There's
it?
A picture.
It's a cash cow. It's...
And they've got a picture of Sam Armitage, and she's sort of flicking her hair like she's trying to think of a secret plot.
Right.
And there's a picture of Koshy looking wide-eyed and innocent. I love to pick those pictures that the photo editors do.
Who's pregnant?
Oh, yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Yes. Delta's pregnant.
I call bullshit.
There is a picture of her vaguely touching her stomach.
Is she holding his tum-tum?
Yeah. Her hands brushing her tum-tum.
It's triplets.
Yeah. And New Idea also says, Liam and Delta, secret dates. Liam and Delta.
Liam Hemsworth. Bring it on. Is he the father?
Well, probably, yeah. That's all happening now. Bachelor in crisis. The baby's not mine.
I believe every single thing you've just said.
Me
One of my favourite segments of the week, by the way. I call bullshit.
Well, of
course. Okay, we'll be back to boot at home,
Dave. You bet.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We were talking about being embarrassed by your parents before. My parents were awesome to me, and my dad was a great provider. So, but on the little, on the big things, fantastic. But gee, he would. Hated parting with a with dollars.
Really?
He used to drive around with my friends in their car, looking for a parking meter that still had time on it.
Is right.
It's hard to find these days.
And because he spent so much time in the South Pacific, he used to when he'd come home and we would hit a shopping centre to check out. He would barter with the girl behind the checkout.
But
it's a hotel rate.
Yes. but he's so used to the.
That's right. Oh, the way of barter.
That's how it was
done. You barter for everything. Yeah, you don't accept the first price. How have we gone? please, with the cars that's parked in James Park.
We've only got one culprit that we've found, which
and they
I
haven't fessed
believe
up.
You.
No.
Is the car still there?
Well, it's a white Kia. I've not heard any from the... No, nothing.
Has no one else? Let's go down and hit it with baseball bats.
Kia? No, I don't want
Let's
to
go
that.
Down and smash every panel.
I didn't want to make a scene about it. Can I just say in the first place, I quietly said it in the office and then I almost
People out
said
there
it...
won't look you in the eye now. You new walk
I've been through
there.
This. It's the second time I've been through it.
You're tough.
I believe you said this, Jane.
I'm so experienced. I'm a woman of the world. Nothing worries me. Not really. Nothing does, man.
Russell Howcroft tomorrow. Tuesday's Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.